Word of God is from Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 to 18. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 to 18. Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is, the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. For surely it is not angels he helps, but Abraham's descendants. For this reason he had to be made like them, fully human in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people, because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. The people of the world, there is one thing they hate and abhor, which is death. Every day, people live their lives in fear of death. The people of this world, people living their lives thinking that this world is it, people who live their lives as citizens of this world, they fear death and they do not want to even hear the word death. However, for the people, the citizens of the kingdom of heaven, the ones who receive the life from God, they do not fear death. So, whether you fear death or not, whether you run away from death or not, should answer the question of whether you have a genuine faith or not. The people of this world, the lovers of this world, cannot love the kingdom of heaven. But however, those who are ridiculed in this world, those who have the life of God, they do not want to dwell in this world, but they want to return to their home. So, beloved, death is not something to be feared, but those who have the hope of eternal life, it brings sense of akin, because death, there is nothing else in this world that acts as our tutor, the teacher of the spiritual reality. Death keeps us honest. Death teaches us deep spiritual truth. Mankind, throughout their life, there is nothing like death that matures that person. It is not the number of years that brings maturity to a person. It is not the power and the wealth and the fame of this world that a person has that brings maturity to a person. Even if you don't have any of those things, the thing that brings reality, the thing that brings maturity to a person is death. Death that signals the end of all things, that makes a mankind question, why did I live in such a way? Why did I treat another person in such a way? What kind of life did I live while I was here on this earth? These questions are asked by those who are faced with the fear of death. So fear brings honesty. Fear brings clarity. Fear brings a sense of reality to everyone. Everything else in this world causes our hearts and our minds to live in a delusional state. And if we think clearly, you will know that this is the truth. There is no materialistic things of this world. There is nothing in this world that will cause me to be awakened, that will cause me to be honest like death. However, death is something that people hate, people fear. And in the entire universe, who is the one who created the universe? It is God himself. And why did God come into this world that he created? Why did he not remain as the creator God? Why did he have to come into this world that he created. It was a humble thing for God to come into this world. It was to give us new life. It was make the new creation possible. It was to recreate the universe. And through what did he recreate this world, this universe? It was through death. So despite the fact it was humiliating for God to come into this world, he came into this world to make the recreation of the universe possible through his death. So in knowing this truth, we come to know there is nothing that is as precious as the death. As we come to know that through the death of Jesus Christ, we were given new life. As we come to know that through death, we receive his great grace. Then the question is, why do I fear and hate death so much? What is causing it? Who is causing such hatred of death? God himself, who created the universe, and he, as he looks upon his created universe, he sees the mess that Satan has made. He sees what Satan has done to the created mankind that was created in his image and his likeness for him to come into them. He sees the mess that Satan has made even upon the mankind. So as he looks upon this world, as he looks upon the humankind, he decided to come into this world. And in his work to recreate the universe, the greatest work was through his death. And it was through death because God looked upon his universe. God looked upon the life of mankind, and he was able to see exactly what was needed. And so, if you live in this world pursuing after all these other things of this world, it will eventually bring you to ruin and destruction. But what will give us life? It is through death. And where will you find your death? Am I telling you to commit suicide? No, it is in the truth that the death of Jesus Christ is your death. It is not possible unless you go to the cross of Jesus Christ and see that when he died, you died. When he rose again, you rose again. And that you will see that all has gone. The old has gone. The new has come. Through what? Through death. That I myself is deserving of death. And I myself must die in order to receive new life. And that is God's prescription for mankind. That is God's examination of mankind. So Jesus Christ came into this world and he lived on this earth, and in his public ministry, and what was the beginning of his public ministry as he came down to this earth to live? And the beginning of that was by being baptized by John the Baptist. He himself went under the water and came out of the water, signifying the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It signifies to us, represents to us, the cross of Jesus Christ, the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And therefore, when he was baptized and came out of the water, God declared that this is the one that I love and find my satisfaction in. And that was the beginning of the public ministry of Jesus Christ. That is why when he came out of the water, it says that the heaven was open, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased." And then he was led out to the wilderness, and he was tested, and he was victorious over the temptation of the devil. And he began his public ministry. So, beloved, you also must begin with death and resurrection, that you must die with Christ, you must rise again with Christ. That is where you must begin, and that is where you will find power to be victorious over Satan's temptation. And that is where the public ministry began with Jesus, and that is where your faith walk will begin as well. And he performs his miraculous signs, he preaches the good news of the kingdom of heaven, and he declares himself as he is the resurrection and the life. And after declaring that truth, he gave life to Lazarus. And after giving life to Lazarus, and at the end of his public ministry, he embraced all of mankind. He put upon himself you and me, and he went to the cross and died and rose again. So when Jesus was baptized, that was his death and resurrection. But when Jesus died and rose again at the hills of Calvary, that was your death and my resurrection. And so this is Apostle Paul writing in Philippians chapter 2 in regards to death and resurrection of the believers and Jesus Christ. It says, Philippians 2:6, it says, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. And therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So, how great is the death of Jesus Christ, and therefore that all things on earth and above earth, everything bow their knees to the name of Jesus Christ. Everything in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, they confess that Jesus is Lord. So therefore, the entire universe, all of God's creation, can't help but to praise Jesus Christ. But however, how come do we hate death so much? Because through death, Jesus Christ recreated. Through death, he put an end to the work of Satan. So in our main text this morning, it says, since the children have flesh and blood, referring to the mankind who has flesh, says he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. For surely it is not angels he helps, but Abraham's descendants. For this reason he had to be made like them, fully human in every way. It says that it was right for God himself to take on the form of a man to free us, to heal us. So it was surely right for God to come as a man. So for this reason he had to be made like them, fully human in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people. Not only did he save us and did he make atonement for us, but he also became a man also, that he might be able to help when we are being tempted and suffering. And some people think that yes, Jesus Christ died and rose again for other people, for others that are not as holy as me. And Apostle Paul speaks about the evil that is within us. He says, and he describes the state of our powerlessness against sin, against death, living in slavery to death. But you must know, beloved, it is not you sinning anymore. It is not you going against God's will anymore. It is the sin that is still within you. And that is what Apostle Paul says. It is not I, but it is sin that resides within me. It is Satan that continues to work within me. So, beloved, when you sin, you must not think that it is you that sins. If you have sinful thoughts, sinful feelings, sinful emotions, you must not accept it as your own. You must declare that it is not you. And furthermore, if you truly have received Jesus Christ, you must know that there is one that is truly transformed by the presence of Jesus Christ. So you must not be deceived to think that it is you that has to war and fight against sin. But you must come to know and believe that Christ has already won the victory against sin. It is not by will, by work, that we can overcome sin, but it is through faith in what Jesus Christ has done on the cross. And so when we put our faith in what Christ has done for us, that causes Satan to be weakened. And so, beloved, there is nothing that we can heal and make right through our own works, but it is through the finished work of Jesus Christ. It is only by faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ that we are made right with God. And how great of a blessing is that? He himself in nature was God, but he did not desire to be equal with God, but he took upon himself the form of a man. He lowered himself and he came here on earth and was obedient to the point of death. So Jesus Christ chose death. And when he chose death, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name. So if you truly have come to know the grace of God, what Christ has done for you, and how he has saved you, then fear, death is no more a thing to be feared, but death is something to be embraced. So, beloved, if you try to live, you'll die. Beloved, there is two kinds of death. There is your natural death without faith. That is your second death. And after your second death, there is no hope for you. But the death that must occur is the death of your old self. So you must come to know that death brings new life. So how precious is the truth in our main text this morning? Because we have flesh and blood, that God himself came sharing in our humanity, so by his death that he might break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, to free us from the power of slavery of death. In fact, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 10, it says, we always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may be revealed in our mortal body. So then death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. It talks about how we, when we render our body to death, then the life of Jesus is revealed in our body. Therefore, to die is a blessing, because when we, our old self, die, then Jesus is revealed in us. So when we come to the cross of Jesus Christ and we die at the cross of Jesus Christ, then the life of Jesus is revealed in our mortal body. And that's what Apostle Paul spoke to the church in Corinth. And this is the words of Jesus himself. If anyone wants to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Meaning that if you want, Jesus says, if you want to follow me, then you must first die. Jesus is saying that if you want to follow me, you must put your faith in the death of Jesus Christ. Yes, it is true that Jesus died for me, but that's not the end. You must come to know that in his death, your death was included. When we say when Jesus died on the cross, you must come to also believe that you yourself died with him. When Jesus died on the cross. But the question is, you're living today, how can you have died with Christ back then? So as you live your life today, there must be a dying of yourself. And as I talked about before, there are sinful thoughts, simple things that enter your mind. And as you try to battle against those sinful things in your life, it is a great burden, great stress on your life. And oftentimes it is easier for unbelievers to live this world, but for Christians, they come to church and they accumulate so many things that they have to keep and do. And the more they fail, the more burden, the more guilt it brings upon their life. And so if you have nothing to do with Jesus, then you must die because you have failed to keep the law. In fact, it would have been better if you were outside of church when you did not know the requirement of the law. But now you come into the church, but you realize you fail over and over again. And so you begin to live your life in burden, in misery, not knowing you cannot keep the law. But the Bible says the one that keeps breaking the law is not you, because you have died with Christ on the cross of Jesus. So when you sin, you must come to know and view that it is not you, but it is the sin that still lives in you. And so when you come to see that truth, you come to experience freedom, peace that is reserved to those who are in Christ. It is telling us, don't be anxious and worry, remaining under the thought of Adam, but go on the side of Jesus and come to know that it is Jesus who died on the cross, and when he died, you died with him. So all of the attacks of Satan is his attempt to revive your old person that has been put to death already. So beloved, you must love the cross of Jesus, and you must come to love your own death. And that is why Apostle Paul says he dies every day, and that it is no longer he himself who lives, but it is Christ who lives within him. So when you look into the Bible, just like Apostle Paul, you come to know that it is not I who sin, but it is sin living in me. And come to know that that is Satan's attempt to revive the old self that has been put to death already. So when temptations come, causing you to struggle under the guilt of sin, you must declare the truth of God, that it is through the power of Jesus, it is through the work of Jesus, he has made you clean, he has made you righteous. And so you must look upon the truth of the gospel and place your faith on the truth of the gospel. And you must hold on to the cross of Jesus Christ. And so when temptations come, it will not ruin you. It will not cause you to stumble. So just as Jesus, when he went through his death and resurrection at the baptism of himself, and subsequent to that came the blessings of God, and it is the same for all of us. There must be a death of your old person. And as our Apostle Paul declared that he dies every day, it is placing your faith at the cross of Jesus and daily coming to believe and coming to know that at the cross of Jesus that you died with Christ. To carry the cross, to take upon the cross yourself, is not to work, is not to labor, but it is for you to look upon the death of Jesus, look upon the cross of Jesus, and come to acknowledge and believe that you have died with Christ. And to deny that truth is to die. And to deny that truth is to die eternally. So, beloved, as believers, you must embrace death. You must love death. You must not seek to pursue other things, other ways to heal yourself. The more you try to love your enemy, the more you try to love your spouses on your own, the more you will sin against one another. But instead of trying to fix yourself, instead of trying to will yourself to change, but you must put an end to yourself, then who can truly love their wives? Who can truly love their enemies? It is the person of Jesus Christ who lives within them. So, beloved, it is not up to your determination to change yourself, to love your wife, to love your enemies, but it is those who go to the cross of Jesus Christ and come to know and believe that they have died at the cross of Jesus Christ, and now that the person of Jesus Christ lives within them, it is Jesus who enables them to now love their spouses, love their enemies. So when that happens, when Jesus lives within you, then Jesus will enable you to love your enemies, love your spouses. That is the work of the cross. That is a principle of the cross. It is not your strength. It is the strength of the cross. You must come, you must stop and be still and come to know that it is Jesus. It is in the power of the cross of Jesus. It is when you go to the cross of Jesus, when you are put to death. And therefore, when you sin, you come to know that it is no longer you. It is sin living in you. And so you must go to the cross and see that you are nothing, and go to the cross and put your faith in what Christ has done for you. Therefore, at that point, you come to know that it is grace. So that is why Apostle Paul speaks about what he boasts about. And he says that I die every day. And so Apostle Paul says there's one thing that he wants to boast about in the presence of his brothers and sisters. It is his death. He's dying every day. So he came to know the power of death. I'll repeat it. There are temptations coming from Satan. Satan said that if you eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, you will be like God. So they ate from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and they departed from God. And where did they depart to? They departed to the world where they declare their independence from God, that they declare they through their own efforts and through their own works here on this world will pursue their own happiness. So this world is not where what God has created, built, but it is a result of the mankind who have drifted, strayed, sinned against God, have come out and built on their own. So they went out on their own and built themselves a tower of Babel. And so after becoming their own God, they had to pursue their own happiness. They had to work to build their own success. And to such people, death is something that such people who declare their own independence, autonomy from God, hated. And so, beloved, everyone knows that they will die. When you're asked a question if you're going to die, everyone says, yeah, I will eventually die. But people are so forgetful of this truth, they live as if they will never die. They live as if though they have so many years to live, and they self-deceive themselves, and they plan for their future to come And this is the deception of Satan. And we see death as something that is affecting others around us, but we don't see it being a reality for ourselves. Even when we see others dying, we deny that and we deceive ourselves to think that death is something that is not at the footsteps of our doors. So the mankind, after sinning against God, going out into the world and pursuing their own happiness, pursuing their own power and success in this world, the mankind now, the earthly man living here on this earth, and such a man, when they're faced with the reality of death, they come crashing down in realizing that they've been deceived all their lives by the impending death. And so they look for something to blame. And that is the great deception that people are under today. Many people think that death is afar from them. So when Jesus calls those who are burdened and heavy laden, and who are the burdened and heavy laden? It is those people who are working on their own in the midst of the presence of eventual death that's coming upon their lives. As they live here on earth as God of their own, trying to pursue their own ways, pursue their own success here on earth, people are burdened and heavy laden. And when such people come to church and become religious, they go even further, pursuing after their own self-righteousness through their own works, through their own will. For example, there is no morning prayers that unbelievers have to attend. But one who is religious in the church, they will come and they will attend these morning prayers and start accumulating their own self-righteousness. Even though that is not genuine and true faith, that is only work based off of the work that results from the temptation that Adam fell under. And when they fail in their words and action, they live in this world under the burden, under the heavy weight of their sin. But however, no matter how much you work at it, you will not succeed. No matter how much you work at being happy, you will never find lasting happiness. Whatever you felt was going to give you satisfaction in life, the moment you attain such a thing, you will express disappointment. You will experience disappointment. The more work you put towards another person in a relationship, the more you will be disappointed in people. All of these religious burdens, all of the burdens of life, you will not be able to stand under it. And so you begin to ask questions. Despite of all the works that I have done, why am I the way I am? Why am I so heavy burdened? What is the burden of life? It is mankind trying not to die. That's the misery and agony of life. So, beloved, stop trying to live. Stop trying to work and keep the law. But you must come to the cross and accept your death. That is the only way that will give you life. You must come to the cross of Jesus Christ and accept your own death. Because death of Jesus Christ is your death. And when you truly come to accept your death at the cross of Jesus Christ, then you will begin to live. Begin to live life as a new creation in Christ. Mankind fears death. And it is usually pastors who see people dying. We counsel them, we comfort them. And oftentimes we see people that are living but daily dying at the cross of Jesus. So those who experience this, when physical death comes, it is not death for them. It is an entrance way to heaven. It is a reality for them. It is a gate that opens a way to heaven. So there is no fear. So there is no sadness. So that is what Apostle Paul was saying, that he would rather die. It was something that he wanted, that he desired, but for the sake of the fellow believers, sake of the church, that he would remain here on earth. That is what Apostle Paul said. For him, his desire was to die because he saw that as an entranceway to eternal kingdom of God. And as an example, those people who immigrate here these days, it's like immigrating into Korea all over again. It doesn't feel at all like a foreign land. There's Korean food, Korean culture, Korean people all over the place. But back then, many years ago, when I first immigrated, it was such a joy to meet another Korean person. And back then, there wasn't that many Korean people out here. There wasn't that many places where they can enjoy anything Korean. So the immigrants here many years ago used to long for where they came from. So beloved, if Jesus is truly in you, it should be like that for you. There should be a yearning for your homeland. Then you should no longer fear death, because through your physical death, that is an entrance way to your home. And you don't long for your physical death because you have no longing for your eternal home. And why do you not long for eternal home? It is because you have never experienced your own death at the cross of Jesus Christ. It is because you are still pursuing your happiness here on earth. And if you live your life here on earth apart from going to the cross of Jesus Christ and see your own death at the cross of Jesus, you will continue to live here on earth fearing a death. So beloved, as you go to the cross of Jesus Christ and you come to know and believe that you died with Christ at the cross of Jesus. And when you yourself die, it is death of sin. It is to put an end to what was imperfect. And so therefore, when you die at the cross of Jesus, you will no longer live your life trying to build your own kingdom here on earth. But when you come to the cross of Jesus, it must begin that it begins with faith in believing that you have died at the cross of Jesus Christ. So with death begins your new life. So that is why, like Apostle Paul, we die every day. Every day we go to the cross and we believe and come to know that we have died with Christ. But unless you begin with death, but if you continue to live under the power of Adam, under the thinking of Adam, that you will continue to live life in great fear of death. And you will continue to live life seeing death as the end of all. And you live your life in fear of death. And if you're one of those that are chosen by God, by the grace of God, as you near your impending death, they begin with fearing dying, but they begin to think deeply and begin to repent what they've done all throughout their lives. When death comes, they realize all these things that they pursued after, that they thought was important, was nothing. And at their deathbed, when their families nearby, they realize that they have nothing to do with me. At your deathbed, whether they are your wives or your children, and they experience the end of all relationships here on earth, and they face God one-to-one. There was a person who loves music, but he was diagnosed with cancer, and I drove that person in a car. I turned on the music that he used to love, but that music that he used to love so much, he no longer loved. He hated it, in fact. He did not enjoy it at all because he now had death sentence, because there was nothing now to rely on, because he was facing such a great, great problem. All these things that he used to enjoy did not matter anymore. He was now alone facing the reality of death. So I turned off the music and I realized what he was facing. And a man facing such impending death, all these little things of life doesn't matter anymore. The only thing that matters to that person at that moment is his relationship with Christ. All the people, all the relationships, all the things of this world has no ties to that person anymore. It is only in pursuing, in knowing the absolute God at the time of his impending death. So I urge you, beloved, and I do, and there are people I've seen that they come to know Christ and to believe in Christ, believe in the gospel at their deathbed, as they relinquish and let go of everything that they held on to. And through the mercies of God, there are people who are saved at the deathbed. And I experienced that with Elder Saul. He was a stubborn man, and as a result of an auto accident, his neck was broken, and they had to keep his head still with the device that they had screwed into his head to keep it still, kept him from being comfortable, being able to sleep, and it was like hell, such time of suffering. But a few days later, he shared with me that all the messages I heard you preach, he said, now I am able to believe. And he shared with me that all of the things that he heard, that he was now able to believe. At first, he was complaining of the suffering, but as the days went by, he shared that how the truth of God that he heard over and over again was becoming so true in his life. And I had other occasions where, as I founded the church, Nasong Church here, and I ran into some people that used to attend the same seminary, and I asked them if they're pastoring a church, and they shared with me that they're no longer pastoring, but they're making their ends meet by performing jobs like painting and cleaning and such work. And one of them was diagnosed with cancer at a point where his body was about to die, and I could see that he was filled with God's grace. At that time, he shared with me that if God would have enabled me to walk and be able to move and live again, I would do nothing except to give myself to the furthering of the gospel. And his wife called me early in the morning, right after he passed away. He didn't even have a chance to go to the hospital. He died at his home. I went to his home after I received a phone call, and I rushed into his bedroom, and I saw him lying on the bed with a smile on his face. And that was one of the most beautiful sight that I've seen in my life. And his wife shared with me that right before he died, he was singing a hymn song. And after singing the hymn song, he lay down and he passed away. And so the testimony was so beautiful to see how at the point of his death and through what he suffered and went through at the footsteps of death, he experienced Christ and surrendering of all things. And so in that perspective, how precious is death? And who fears death? It is Satan. It is those who fell when all mankind fell in sin. But those who have Christ within them, those who have the experience of going to the cross and dying every day at the cross of Jesus Christ, they see now death as the footsteps into the eternal kingdom of God. So, beloved, don't waste your life in things that are vain, the things that will not bring you anything, give you anything at your deathbed. But I urge you to go to the cross of Jesus and receive what he has done for you. And at the cross, come to know and believe that when Christ died and you died with him, so that when death comes, you may die in peace, you may die with a smile and joy. So, beloved, at your deathbed, there will be nobody who will be able to help you. It should be a place, a time of joy in knowing that he or she we love will go through the gate of eternity and go into the kingdom of heaven. And the one who dies and the one who remains will experience joy. And there should be a beautiful goodbye for the believers. Just as when someone would immigrate to a much better, much richer place, and as he is about to go, there will be joy. There will not be sadness. There will not be any crying, but filled with joy, looking forward to what that person will experience. And that must be the case when we experience the death of those believers. The believers, when they die, it will be a joyous occasion. And how beautiful of a goodbye is that? And so if non-believers were able to see such a beautiful goodbye, it will be an evangelism to them to see how beautiful death can be. To the people who have lived all their lives under the heavy burden, heavy weight of death. And I pray that the truth about death will become a reality in your life. Beloved, know that your emotions, your will, your intellect are being deceived by the lies of Satan. And so you fear death. The Bible says that this world will eventually be burned as a way of judgment of God, just as it was judged by God through the flood. The mankind who ate from the tree of knowledge of good and evil and declare their independence from God, it must begin with death. You must go to the cross of Jesus to come to know that you have become the citizens of heaven through death of Jesus Christ, that your view of death will be changed, that death is an entrance gate into the eternal kingdom of God. And you will become someone who will love death, that you will be someone that you will live your life knowing that you will die, and that at the point of your death, you will be able to depart from this world with joy, knowing that your death will mark as an entrance gate into eternal kingdom of God. Let us pray. Father, we have looked into your word this morning. I pray, Lord, the truth of the cross of Jesus and death and resurrection of Jesus will be a reality in our lives. I pray that you would help us to come to know that our work is to die at the cross of Jesus Christ. And at this truth, help us, Lord, to prepare for our own death. And help us, Lord, to live with Christ every day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.